Hello, and welcome to another episode of eDiscovery Chicks, the podcast about all things eDiscovery and legal tech, hosted by two gals who have a little bit of whiplash. Anyways, we're your hosts. That's Bree.
And that's Angie. The eDiscovery Chicks were live last week in a couple of different settings. So we wanted to share with you our takeaways and also our gratitude for the folks that hosted us and invited us and wanted us to be part of their events that day. And we're calling this episode Houston with a Twist because there's a little bit of a twist at the end that we'll clue you in on.
Hence but, the whiplash.
That's right. Angie, first of all, I know that Houston and Seattle are very different from one another, and you had to come with some sort of preconceived notion of what the heck is going down in this hillbilly town of mine.
Hillbilly town? Are you kidding me?
Dude, what did you think about Houston in general?
You know what? I thought that I would not be able to walk 10 feet without running into something barbecued. It turns out that was not the case. Like, we had sushi. Mm-hmm. I don't think we had barbecue once while I was there.
No. And I actually felt kind of bad about that. Like, maybe I robbed you out of some sort of experience.
I feel robbed. Yeah. I mean, I guess I'll just have to come back.
I guess you will. Although what we did have was just unbelievably great. So I don't know how bad I really feel about that.
I don't think you should feel bad at all. We had very, very, very good food. But no, we spoke at a multinational energy company. And then we spoke to the Houston chapter of ASEDS, which is the Association of Certified eDiscovery Specialists.
That's right.
Yeah, that was a very long day. Bree and I learned an important lesson, which is we should not do two live presentations in one day. And I certainly should not have done it in four inch heels. Those dogs were barking by the end of the day.
That's for sure. No, we had a blast, though. And we'll say, so for the energy company, we thought it was amazing to have a large corporation call us in and do a training for their staff. And it actually caught Angie and I a little off guard at first because we were like, I mean, you guys like have a lot of stuff put together here. I don't know what we are going to be able to offer you. But we got to talk a lot about, you know, providing value, finding your own value and collaborating in a large organization like that. And that's something that Angie and I both have experience with. So that was a very fun day. And I also have to say that the people who are part of our flock are amazing, and Angie and I are just so grateful for the love that we've received from our listeners that want to give us feedback. We're always happy to hear it. You don't have to like us either. Like, we're happy to hear bad feedback if you've got some, but we were so thrilled to be invited to spend that time with them, and it really was kind of like a labor of love for both of us. And then we had, it was kind of ish, a podcast-ish live. I don't know if we could really say that, with the Houston ASEDS chapter, yeah, which was hosted by Extero as well. And great, super grateful for ASEDS and Extero for hosting us and for all of the members that turned out. We also had a great support from Women in eDiscovery Houston. So that was great to see too. So anyway, thank you everybody in Houston for number one, making me look like I'm a badass when Angie comes to town. Like, we got cool things to do and great food to eat, baby. So you've got to live up to those standards when I come to Seattle next.
Oh my God, I know. You set the bar too high. You made me a croissant for breakfast one morning.
Right.
You made me crepes. Mm-hmm. Whereas I usually just go up to the kitchen and forage and eat some random like cube of cheese and slice of bread, like a tiny little mouse or something. And you were like, no, here you go. Here's like a lovely gourmet breakfast.
Oh, yes. Well, it's not like that every morning, I have to say, but breakfast is a big deal to me. So it needs to be good and it needs to happen, especially with the days that we ended up having in Houston.
That's true. We needed to be nourished. But okay, so I feel like we spent the week just fully immersed in the industry. So Bree, what do you feel like some of your takeaways were from the conversations that we had with people?
Yeah, so I'll also just kind of preface what we're about to talk about too with the subject matter we discussed, because it was not your typical eDiscovery topics either. I mean, at the energy company, we talked about finding your value and e-discovering you is kind of the title of that presentation.
Because we're cheesy.
We are. Well, I'm named Bree. I mean, what do you, what do you expect?
Oh my God. That was the best.
And then at the ASEDS presentation, we talked about internal cross-collaboration between departments. It was really more towards a corporate audience again. So, I mean, we're in two topics that involved corporate settings, something that Angie and I know a lot about. I definitely took away some overall lessons learned. One of them was all about AI and people's temperature when it came to AI. Angie had a great idea to poll everyone. You know, are you using AI every day? Do you use it seldom? Do you even know what AI means? where are you? And I would say there's people still all over the place. And I was surprised the people that aren't using it at all, to be honest, because I feel like it's so much a part of everything that we do. And maybe they didn't really understand that what they were using involved AI, which could very much be the case. But yeah, I thought that that was still a surprise. However, I did get an overwhelming feeling from both groups of people that there is an understanding that you need to absolutely grab hold of AI and make it your bitch because it's going to be the future. And if you're not on board with it, you're going to get left behind.
Yeah. I feel like AI is almost unavoidable, or maybe it's just that that's the way that I've embraced it. But like, you can't even Google anything anymore without having it be in it, there being an AI overview. So it was surprising to me the folks that are really just avoiding it still.
Yeah. And I'll say the second part of that AI conversation on both sides was about safety and security with AI. So within the corporation itself, there was some conversation about what do we have internally that we can use that we know is safe, that we know we're not, you know, giving away proprietary information. At the ASEDS meeting, there was a lot of reminders about don't be the dum-dum that uses the fake case law, you know. Also, don't be the dum-dum that put your client information in ChatGPT. Like that's, so, you know, that it was kind of like a double-edged sword conversation, which I honestly, I'm happy to hear because that is our responsibility when we're using AI and we need to remember that.
Yeah.
So it was good to hear that that was top of mind for everyone.
Yeah, I totally agree. And then one of the other things that we talked about was cross collaborating. So collaborating like between different orgs with people who speak a different vernacular than you or have a different background, you know, somebody from legal, somebody from engineering, somebody from IT, that kind of thing. And we just spent a lot of time brainstorming all the ways that you can do that effectively. So I don't know, Bree, what were some of the ones that stuck out to you?
I think that especially with the corporation that we met with, because, I mean, we have a big team there, right? And they're all under the same umbrella. There were a lot of specific questions about how do I handle this obstacle when I come up, you know, against this protest? And a lot of it had to do with prioritizing work. And I think that those are important conversations to have. Have them in a way that's positive. Have them in a way that supports your end customer. If you're in-house and you are a paralegal, your customer may be your attorney, for example. But whoever your internal customer is, make sure that they feel like you are still meeting my needs. You still know that we need to have a win-win situation, but it's totally reasonable that you're only one person that can only do the job of one person, right? So that was kind of a lot. We got real granular there. In general, though, I think more so in the ASEDS conversation, I got the sense that people understood the value of cross-collaboration. They certainly understood it from a data perspective, you know, that we're all trying to do stuff, different stuff with the same data. But I think that there's still a need for buy-in, either from the executive level or just from the industry as a whole to accept like, okay, I mean, we're going to buy the same tool that's going to be used by e-discovery, used by compliance, used by legal, used by IT. Yes, everybody can get on board with that and have their needs met and feel good about it. I kind of felt like everybody wanted to go there, but was still kind of hesitant because of maybe the buy-in or even understanding what resources were available to help them get there.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting, like, I almost feel like it's this thing where the farther people get into their career, the more they're like, well, I don't know how to do this other thing. Like, I don't know how to work with IT. So like, I'm just not going to do that. I'm kind of comfy doing my thing. So it was fun for me to see people sort of opening up to this idea of like, let's chuck our pride out the window, ask people to explain things like we're kindergartners and just kind of roll up our sleeves and get this done.
I think another common theme that we are, maybe I should say a common topic that we discussed with both groups of people was finding your value, which is kind of a cheesy thing for me, I guess, to say, but super duper important. Because if we don't know what value we bring, then we can't be our best and bring value to our internal customer, our end customer or company.
Yeah.
So knowing your value was another big topic. In some of the conversation that we had, it became very evident to me it is equally as important to find out what your strengths are as it is to find out the stuff that you ain't so good at or you don't whatever. And it's okay. It's okay not to be the best at everything. But what's not okay is to not shine and push yourself and excel in the area where you know that's your strength and you enjoy it. You know, I think people try to be the best of everything all the time because they feel like that's what makes them valuable, but you just really can't do that. And I think on the flip side too, encouraging one another to, like, I see in Angie so many strengths all the time and I try to always, you know, call them out.
Well, but right back at you. I mean, like, you have so many skills that I just simply do not have.
Well, and I think being able to pump each other up is so important. And that goes for all of us and wherever we are. There's naturally going to be people on any team that are going to be better at one thing or another. And that's okay. Like, you do not have to win for every single day, every single task, right?
No.
And it's okay to boost people up and it's okay to delegate out to those people. What do you think, Angie?
Yeah, I agree. I think that there's this fallacy of people thinking that they have to be good at everything. And in reality, like, you just can't be. You know, I'm horrible at some things and good at other things. And like, I think I just have to kind of own both of those. So yeah, I think that was a good takeaway.
Another thing too is identifying the things that really trigger you to be unhappy or trigger you not to be your best self. And I use the example of anger because that seems to be like my go-to emotion. I don't know where my son gets that from. But anyway, but that seems to be what happens when I'm, you know, having a day and I get something gets hurled at me and it makes me freaking pissed. That's usually like a trigger that got pushed with me and I have to take steps back and assess. Why are you mad right now? What is actually not happening? And understanding at the same time what motivates me to be happy and to be my best self, because usually they're very closely intertwined. If something triggered me to be mad, it's very likely because it's keeping me away from achieving what motivates me. And understanding what that looks like for me is important because then I can take steps back and work in a way that's more positive for all parties so that I can bring the best self myself to the table, which will in turn empower others to be their best self. So I think, I mean, that's very vague in general, but hopefully that's helpful for me. We all have different ways that we're triggered. And some people, like my husband, his trigger is to like go hide his head. I always tell him he's like a turtle in a shell. Like he just whoop. And that's how he deals with whatever has triggered him. And that's not his best self either. So he's got to figure out, like, why am I hiding from the world right now?
But our twist, though, what I was going to say is, so Bree and I were driving along this road in the middle of nowhere, Texas. And out of nowhere, like, we get rear-ended by a box truck. And Bree's car is, like, maybe totaled. We'll see.
Yeah. So it was one of those days where the sun was shining, the sky is blue, the weather is perfect. Me and Angie are listening to the tunes and the radio.
Oh, yeah.
And we're making comments like, man, everything is going our way today. It's such a great day. And then all of a sudden, I am slowing down with traffic. And the dude behind me in the box truck didn't want to slow down. And so my big, huge Nissan Armada, who we call Big Sexy. So Big Sexy got rammed by a Mercedes box truck, and that rammed us into the car in front of us. And all of a sudden, in like 2 seconds, your whole day is in a different place. You've got shattered glass all over everything that you own. You're cleaning out your entire car in the middle of the country in Texas.
But I feel like we discovered, though, Brie, you and I in a crisis situation, phenomenal.
Yeah, y'all.
No notes.
Y'all would have been so proud of us, because as soon as it happened, we both looked at each other and we took a deep breath. I'm like, okay, well, you're going to take care of this situation and I'm going to call 911. Okay. And she's on with her husband and I'm on with my husband. And we mutually like divided up things that we're doing and nobody freaked out. Not until later, anyway.
Nope. We're both like, be sure to make a doctor's appointment for insurance purposes.
That's right. And Angie's just like, this is the best trip to Texas ever. I'm on the side of the road. My shoes are in mud and I'm cleaning out Bree's kids' soccer crap out of her car. Like, this is amazing. Oh, my God.
Oh, it was a wild, wild ride.
But, you know, it's such a reminder to me of how precious our time is, you know. And I thought, God, if what had happened, I mean, there's so many things that could have happened. I mean, we could have not been in Big Sexy and been in some little tiny car and got, you know, had a different outcome, we'll say. And the lady that we hit in front of us, same thing. It's such a reminder that how we spend our time and what we spend our time doing, it really should matter. It should be something that makes you feel worthy. It made me reflect on that day that we spent in Houston, the day before. And I thought, man, if this was going to be it, at least I got to spend the last day like being able to be surrounded by people I love, being able to be surrounded by a community that I love, getting to be with Angie in Texas and making her deal with all the Texas things.
And, oh my God, you're going to make me cry.
And we got to be in Big Sexy for her final ride.
I know.
But I mean, that's a great way to spend your time doing things that you love and pumping people up. So I thought that was, anyway, that was my takeaway of the big twist.
No, it was so wonderful. And like, I kind of thought the same thing of, you know, we have limited time. Time is our most finite and irreplaceable resource. And so do something that makes you happy. Do it with intention. Like, I found myself, this is kind of stupid, but last night, well, White Lotus came out, season 3 of White Lotus. And typically, you know, if I'm watching TV, I'm sitting there on my phone or whatever. And I was like, no. Do that thing where you're actually intentional about what you're doing, because why half-ass being on your phone and also half-ass this TV experience? Why not be present in the moment, enjoy this, absorb everything that you can about it, you know? So I feel like same takeaway there.
You know, one thing that also came up in both of our conversations the day before, which also ring even more true to me now after the fact, is once you've had experience, and you don't have to be as experienced as Angie and I, it could just be that you had an experience. But once you've experienced something and you've learned from it, there's no better way to give value to yourself and to others than to share whatever it is that you learned. And it doesn't have to be earth-changing. It could be this really cool script you learned how to do on ChatGPT, like Angie shared with several people last week. It's really important to give back to this community. We have a legacy to leave. We've been treated well by this industry, and we owe one another, and we owe our proteges that are coming up after us the best experience we can give. So if you need encouragement to do that, and by the way, when you do that, it makes you feel like a badass. So
you will be badass.
Check it out.
Oh my God. All right. I think that's all the time that we have today, folks. So thank you so much for joining us on eDiscovery Chicks. We hope you learned something new, felt empowered, or just had some fun along the way. Don't forget to join the flock by following us on LinkedIn and Instagram, and check out our website at ediscoverychicks.com.
Thanks again, Houston.
Thank you, Houston.
Bye.
Bye.